The only thing worse than being blind is having sight but no vision. You may know this quote from Helen Keller, the iconic figure of the 20th century, the woman who overcame both blindness and deafness with the help of Anne Sullivan and others to do incredible things in her own life and incredible humanitarian things for the world. The only thing worse than being blind is having sight but no vision. Keller recognized in her own blindness, physical blindness, that that is not the only kind of blindness. And in fact, Keller recognized that it's not even the worst kind of blindness. That it's very possible to be physically blind and see beautifully. And it's very possible to be able to physically see well and to not see at all. This contrast between being blind and seeing, or being able to physically see and being blind, has been played out in the two Gospels from last weekend and this weekend. And Mark certainly wants us to read them as a contrast. They're right next to each other in Mark chapter 10. And Jesus asked the exact same question to James and John that he asked to Bartimaeus this week. And yet the two, James and John on the one hand and Bartimaeus on the other hand, go totally different directions in what they want from Jesus. And the irony is that the ones who can physically see are asking to be blind, and the one who is physically blind is asking to see. And so if you remember last week, James and John come up to Jesus and they say, "Will you grant a request?" And Jesus says the same line he says to Bartimaeus today, "What do you want me to do for you? What do you wish me to do for you?" Open-ended question. And James and John, in their own vanity and selfish ambition, ask if they can sit at the right and left hand of Jesus in the kingdom. And Jesus rebukes them, basically saying, like, are you blind? Do you know what you're asking for? And do you know that what you're asking for, namely ambition and vanity and reputation and places of prestige and power, that's actually going to blind you to the true nature of Christian discipleship, which is being able to suffer and be vulnerable and be wounded for the sake of serving others? In other words, Jesus says to James and John, you're asking to be blind. And then today in the gospel, Bartimaeus, who is just desperate for Jesus, he's desperate for healing, and finally he gets the attention of Jesus, and Jesus asks that exact same question that he asked of James and John. What do you want me to do for you? And Bartimaeus says simply, Master, I want to see. I want to have vision. And so Mark wants us to see this contrast between the two people who physically see but are blind, and the man who is physically blind who sees better than James and John. This contrast between these two groups of people was made clear to me on my pastoral internship. We do a year in a parish, and I was at St. Michael's in Findlay. If you've ever been down there, it's a gigantic parish. And they had a ton of different organists, and one of the substitute organists was a blind woman, totally blind. Her name was Marin. She's since passed away. But I didn't know she was blind. She was that good on the organ. I mean, you would have never known that she was playing versus the other organists. Except one day I recognized a trend that when she was playing, the cantor would go up to the ambo and would tap on the microphone. And I thought, that's weird. That only happens when she's playing. And so finally I said to a person, I said, why only at Marin's masses do people tap on the microphone? And this person looked at me and said, Jeremy, she's blind. And I said, really? And they said, yeah. I said, well, how does she play so well? Well, she's memorized all the sheet music. Amazing. Memorized all the sheet music. The cantor would alert her to the fact that they were ready to sing by tapping on the microphone, because she couldn't see them ascending the ambo. So I had incredible admiration for this woman. And one day I'm standing at the back of church greeting people with the pastor. And a couple comes out and starts like this to the pastor. They say, are you the pastor here? He said, yes. They said, we're visitors here, we're guests. And we sat in the section over by the choir. And we have to tell you, we were extremely distracted by the organist during Mass. They said she wasn't paying any attention. Her eyes were not fixed on what was going on. They said she was tilting back and forth in her stool. Her head was bobbing back and forth. And we found it incredibly distracting. We could not pray. And we would like you to deal with that organist. Now, you know these moments when you have a bomb to drop on someone? You know, and you're just like waiting for it because they're so ignorant of the situation and you have this nugget of information that's just going to blow the whole thing up. So I watched as my pastor, if you know Father Mike Hohenbrink, he's got this incredible smirk, and I could just see this. He's ready to pounce, you know. So he waits until the tirade is over and he said, you know, she's blind. And that was the end of that conversation. They quietly walked away. They didn't even say anything. They walked away in shame. And I bet, like me, they never judged as rashly again. It had a real impact on me as well. Like, because, you know, we all do those sorts of things, right? Where we judge too quickly or something. But this was a great example of a woman who's physically blind but who has incredible vision, Maren. And a couple who physically sees but was blind by rash judgment, by preconceptions, by all sorts of things. What does Bartimaeus in his blindness teach us about our own spiritual journey? I just want to mention briefly two things. The first, Bartimaeus cries out to Jesus precisely from his weakness, not from his strength. The reason Jesus ultimately turns and heals him is because Bartimaeus cries out precisely from the area where he needs Jesus to complete him, where he needs Jesus to fill him in. And that, I hear from so many people that say, Father, I can't go to church, I'm imperfect, or I am guilty, or I feel unworthy because my life's not totally there, or, right, I'm not perfect, I don't have it all together. And Bartimaeus teaches us that that's precisely why you come here, is to reach out to Jesus in the areas where we need him to fill us. Jesus says beautifully in the gospel that the healthy person doesn't need a doctor. The healthy person does not need a doctor. The sick person does. And spiritually speaking, the spiritually perfect person does not need the divine physician. Only the spiritually imperfect person needs the divine physician. And so if you're already perfect, you can leave now. Though, wait for the collection, right? And then you can leave. I thought of that this morning, you know. Proud of myself. But it's true. It's like, you know, people come to me and they're like, well, I'm not perfect. I'm weak. I'm unworthy. I have so many problems. Well, that's why you come. And that's what Bartimaeus teaches. We come to Jesus out of our weakness, right? He doesn't need our strengths. He doesn't want us offering him a laundry list of where we're doing great, bragging about that and comparing ourselves to how much better we are than others. He wants us to approach him in our weakness, as Bartimaeus does. And that weakness could be physical. In Bartimaeus' case, it could be all sorts of other areas of blindness that we have. The second thing is this great little detail in the story that as Bartimaeus springs up to approach Jesus, he leaves his cloak behind. And I see in a kind of spiritual reading of that, that if we want 2020 spiritual vision, there are certain things we have to set aside as we approach Jesus. Right, Bartimaeus leaves his cloak aside. There are certain things all of us have, to continue the metaphor of today, some forms of spiritual cataracts. We all have things that cloud our 2020 God spiritual vision. Whether they be biases or prejudices, modes of thinking, certain behaviors, certain preoccupations, certain resentments, certain possessions, there are things which are spiritual cataracts for our ability to see as God sees, to see as Jesus sees. And in this great story, I think Bartimaeus leaving his cloak behind is a beautiful little detail that reminds us too that there are certain things that we have to push aside if we want to have the kind of vision the all-encompassing supernatural spiritual vision with which Jesus sees the world. There's another quote I love from Helen Keller. She said, "It is better to walk with someone in the dark than to walk alone in the light." And of course, I'm sure many of you saw, or probably most of you saw, the miracle worker at some point in your life. I went back and watched it this weekend, just because I hadn't seen it for so long. But the way that Ann Sullivan walks with her, Ann Sullivan being a blind woman herself, walking with Helen Keller, it's beautifully portrayed in that movie. But the idea of accompaniment, that we are called to walk with people in their dark places, to walk with them in the places that they are spiritually blind, and to allow others to walk with us in those areas of our own blindness, in those areas where our vision is not great, and to allow other people to walk with us. It's really amazing that we live in the greatest era of medical technology and advancement. People are living longer. We have cure after cure to reduce physical ailments and so on. We're living in the most privileged medical time in the history of the world, and yet, you know as I know, there is an incredible epidemic of loneliness. There's an incredible epidemic of depression. There's an incredible epidemic of insecurity and feeling as if no one is there with us. And so Helen Keller said, it's better to walk in the dark with someone than to walk alone in the light. So friends, let's accompany, as Jesus accompanied Bartimaeus, and then we're told Bartimaeus walked with Jesus on the journey, accompanying him. Let us accompany those in our lives, right, who need that, who are in the dark about something, and we walk with them, and we allow others to walk with us as we all try to grow toward the kind of spiritual vision, right, the kind of vision that God has of the world. Let's journey together with Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world.